We're reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, and the part that I am reading aloud for you is verses 17 through 19, and then at verse 24. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will listen. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise
Amen. Yeah, it is somewhere up here in these verses 22 and 23, depending on the translation, that says that the works of their hands will last a lifetime and beyond. We're talking about the dawn of a new season today. And it's going to seem kind of funny, the story that I want to relate to you about the dawn of a new season, because I want to talk about how we can create that new season, how we can be the ones to enable a new season to happen. On September 23rd, I made a trip to the Ford dealership up in Kansas. It was 17 days after Dad had left us and gone to glory. It was the day before my birthday. It was cold. It was not like today. It was raining. And on that day, I drove up to this shop, and as I was driving and it was raining, and I was thinking about my birthday and not having Dad here, of course my emotions got me. And I let them have some time with me. Well, then I got to the car dealership, and everybody was checking in their cars. It was first thing in the morning, so everybody was coming in and kind of getting started, and there were lines everywhere. And it was very crowded, and some of the people couldn't even back out because there was other cars in their way. And so there was sort of a range of attitudes, I guess would be the word to say, where some people were pulling in and just trying to get everything done, and the others were grumpy because they couldn't get out. So there was people honking, and it was just a little bit chaotic. Well, I got my car into the garage, kind of trying to get out of the guy's way who was honking at me, and inside there was also crowded and busy. And so as I checked in, there was this row of people sitting at a counter checking in different customers, and the one on the very end who checked me in said, okay, I'll go ahead and take your keys, but the guy down the way here, about three people, he's going to be your associate. He's in charge of you. I said, okay. Well, it was raining, like I said, and Maisie was with me, and so I thought, well, after I got my car checked in, I better go take her out for a potty break, and so I got wet. I discovered that the dealership up there had just cut the grass, and so, you know, when it's wet and it's got fresh cut grass, everything stuck to me. As I go inside the building and sit down in my waiting room seat, I'm kind of trying to kind of keep myself all tucked in because I'm cold and wet, and I have this puddle kind of forming all around me, and grass, literally grass floating off of my shoes onto the puddle around me. Anyway, I was so embarrassed, you know, because I'm like this spectacle. Well, then I got this phone call, some things that I needed to do because of Dad, and that got me all up in my feelings again. So then I'm like dripping from my face and dripping from my feet, and I have grass running around, and I'm a mess. And I'm just thinking, I wish I could be a little invisible right now. Well, that was first thing in the morning. And I sat there, and I went ahead and filled out thank you notes, and I did the things that I had brought to do, and I dried. At about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I start wondering about my car. I'd seen him pull it out, and it just sat out there, and I was waiting and waiting. I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to go see. I wonder, because it had a computer update and a tire thing. Maybe they just had it between things, you know. So about 3 o'clock, I go out to the counter, and I say, can I get an ETA on my car? And the guy says, well, what's your name? And I tell him, and he looks at the computer. What car did you bring in? I tell him. He looks in the computer. Then he goes, can you just show me where your car is? Mm-hmm. I said, well, it's out front there. It's been out there for about an hour, hour and a half. Huh. Well, let me go check. Mm-hmm. So he goes and he gets in the car, and he can't really tell anything. He goes back in the back of the shop, and he comes back out front, and he goes, well, the good news is the car's done. We just don't have you in the system, so we just didn't know you were here. They had the car, they did the car, but for some reason, you know, when I said I wanted to be invisible, I guess I just didn't exist at all. And so he says, oh, but it's no problem. We'll just go ahead and make you up a ticket. We'll go inside and you can get cashed out. I said, okay. So we go in, and the cashier comes up to to meet me at her counter. And she was very friendly, bubbly, excited. And she was like, well, hello, how are you today? And what do you think I said? You know, I stood there thinking, do I lie right now? Or do I be honest? And I just kind of looked at her for a minute and I said, you know, it's been kind of a crummy day. And you know what she did? Like, her eyebrows went down and she looked so offended that I had said, I'm having a crummy day. And she didn't speak to me anymore except to tell me how much I owed and kind of cash me out. And thinking back on that day and the events and everything, it really reminded me. I called Sammy and complained at her. As soon as I got in the car, then I called Mom and complained at her for a little bit. And on the way home, I was like, I'm just having a terrible day. It reminds me of that book, The No Good, Very Bad Day. And the little boy, Alexander, in that story, having all these bad things happen, that's just robbing him of the joy that he had in his mind was going to be for the day. And he just kept saying when things would go wrong, you know, I just ought to just up and move to Australia. He just was just going to escape because things were just going bad. And at the end of the book, Alexander's mother tells him that everybody has bad days, even in Australia. And that's the truth, isn't it? We have just no good, horrible, very bad days sometimes. And we think back on those days and we think, I wish I would have said, I wish I would have done, or I wish I wouldn't have said, or I wish I wouldn't have done. And it's just part of the of life that's a little bit messy. And would you agree that we're kind of messy? People have always been messy. In Isaiah's text today, we find people who are a little bit messy. And the portion they gave us to read is that beautiful, joyful part of the text that's at the end of chapter 62. But the rest of chapter 62, if you'd start at the beginning, was not so joyful. It was the beginning of the chapter was a bit of a lament where the prophet is writing about God being upset that people were not paying attention to God. They remind me of students in a classroom. How many people have experience with seeing students in a classroom after the teacher leaves the room? What happens? Chaos! Yeah, you leave the students and everybody goes, woohoo! You can see it on TV. I mean, literally, the spitballs start flying and the paper wads and, oh my goodness, I can't even tell you all the things that kids got in trouble for because the teacher left the room and then come back around the corner and saw them and was like, oh my word, what are you all doing? God, at the beginning of chapter 62, is sort of, there's a lament because the children have been free for a while. They have been kind of doing like the teachers left their own. They've been living into dangerous behaviors. They've been worshiping other gods. They're burning incense to other gods, which means to us that they've been offering sacrifices, right? Because now we know that they burn incense to cover the smell of the sacrifices. So they've been sacrificing to other gods. And the lament is, I have had my hands outstretched to the people all of this time. Even before they called upon me, I had my hands outstretched, and God is saying, here I am, here I am. And the people are just, they don't care. They're ignoring God. The teacher's not in the room. We're acting in chaos. And so in the middle part there of the chapter 62, God is saying to them, if you're going to go out and just do things the way that you want to and ignore me and reject me, it's not going to turn out real well for you. There are consequences to our actions, right? Things go wrong because of the things that we do sometimes. Like, if I get up in the middle of the night and don't turn on the light and then stub my toe, is that God's fault or mine? Probably mine, because I didn't turn on the light. And there's light there, which is, I think that would be a whole sermon all in itself. Is that the light is there and I choose to not turn it on. And then I complain when I trip. So God is lamenting that he's trying to reach the people. He's trying to be connected to the people. And the people aren't trying to be connected in return to God. So those first verses talk about God reaching out and saying, here I am, wanting to reach the people. And he says, I have always been here even before you called, but as soon as you accept my offer, all of the things that you've been doing will be forgotten. And that's when we get to that beautiful part that we read at the end, verses 17 to 25, the good news part that's writing about how much God deeply wants joy for us, so deeply that we see a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new dawn for us where there are no tears, where there are no bad days, where peace prevails, and there's no such thing as death. Doesn't that sound beautiful? I asked this morning, how many people want to live a joy-filled life and dance in the kingdom of heaven? And it was funny to ask that this morning at Ohio Street because our screens weren't working this morning at Ohio Street. We have the one that people can see and then the one that the singers and the pastor can see over here. That was the only one that was working. So when everybody stood up to sing, they all had to turn around and look at the back of the room to read the screen. And so my friend Chris, who was leading music with me, everybody's backs to him, she starts dancing. She's just, da, 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 she was just dancing up there. And she said, nobody can see me. And I said, except everybody on the camera. And she went, oh, and she stopped dancing. But how many of us just want to dance like that? You know, we want, I mean, that's in us, right? The only reason we're not dancing all the time is because we think people can see us. We want to dance in the new kingdom, in the new joy that God has for us. There's so much potential. At that jump in our scripture, at verse 22, it says that we will enjoy fully the work of our hands. That will bring us the joy. That will give us that spirit of wanting to dance, even if people can see. For Israel, that was a really wonderful message because they had built homes and then been ejected from them. So that was comforting. But also, when God says, I want you to fully enjoy the work of your hands, I believe that is not just for what they had built before, but to encourage people to use their hands and continue to build now. To be a part of the process of bringing the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. To make this look like the kingdom of heaven. We read that other places in the scripture. What does it look like for us to be building? Now, we always think of wood and nails and hammers with building. But what if the way that we build isn't always with hammers and nails? What if the works of our hands start with the words of our mouths and the hearing of our ears? See, as I circle back to the lady in the dealership that day that scowled at me because I was having an emotional day, I keep thinking, she wasn't a bad person. We don't want to be upset with this person. I don't know what she had going on. The thing that strikes me, though, is she was taken aback by my response. And I don't know if it's because when she looked at me, she didn't think she should ask more questions, but I also didn't offer her any more information. I didn't really want to get talking and blubber at this person. But if we would have taken time to actually have a conversation, we would have left there with a connection. If we'd have reached our hand out the way that God reaches God's hand out from heaven, we could have connected and known something deeper. And we could have had a real conversation. Because the reality is, how many times today have you said, hey, how are you? But was it really a question? Or just sort of how we address one another. After worship at one of the churches this morning, somebody said, my pastor told me today to not ask people how they're doing. That is not what I'm asking. I do want us to ask, how are you doing? But I want us to honestly ask, how are you doing? And then honestly want to hear the answer, the real answer. I was talking with Pastor Michelle about this message this week, and she said, yeah, one of the pastors I used to work with, when we would meet somebody in the hall, and he'd say, hey, how you doing? And they would say, fine. He would stop and stop them and say, wait, no, really, how are you doing? And she said, you know, over 90% of the time, fine wasn't the answer. It's about making a real connection. It's about stretching our hands out to one another, the way that God stretches out his hands to us, and building through the words of our mouth that actually mean something and is not just polite conversation. And even through the listening in our ears that says, I really want to hear what you have to say. Now, I haven't shared this anywhere else this morning, but one of the things that I am trying to do very intentionally is, you know, every once in a while, you come up with this harebrained idea when somebody's telling you something and you think, oh, I ought to offer this, but then you don't. And so I've been trying to say those words. Somebody says, I'm having a really rough time right now. Do you need me to come and sit with you for a while? Those are the kinds of things that go through our mind, but they don't often come out of our mouth. And I've been taken up on it quite a few times since I started trying to do it lately. And I think that that is the connections that we need. That's the building of our hands that will last beyond our lifetime. It is that sharing that brings someone else out. How beautiful that this young man found his brother's notebook, read the things that he took the time to put down, and it has literally changed his life beyond the time frame of his brother's life. These are the connections, the real connections, the works of our hands, the building of our people might be coming from what we say and how we hear. God created us for connection, to be here for one another, to live authentically, hearing with our hearts and speaking from our hearts. In Isaiah's time, God watched his people missing him by miles. And that day at the car dealership, two very fine people met at a counter and missed each other by inches because we did not have a fuller conversation. So what if the new creation God promises, the joy and the peace and the ability to dance, comes from not wasting time, not allowing other people to be unseen or unheard, and allowing ourselves to be seen as well? The work of our hands begins when we decide not to just pass people, but to actually connect them. Isaiah 65 is not about a far-off time or a far-off place or a someday. It's a today. It's a now. It's a yesterday and a tomorrow. God has already started the work. God is always creating and making something new, giving us a brand new day to fill. God is always answering us before we even call, and God is always holding out his hand to us. He's inviting us to join him in the building of one another, using words that mean something and hearts filled with compassion. We will have some bad days, but we are the people God has chosen to bring along to give glimpses of the new creation. May the God who calls us, saying, here I am, find that we are reaching back to God through our relationships with one another. Heavenly Father, thank you for connecting to us, for loving us so much that you put yourself here, that you taught us through your actions, that you didn't just lament about how messy people are, but Lord, you gave us a way to clean things up. And you continue to do that. Lord, may we go into each new moment recognizing it as an opportunity to connect to someone else's heart and to allow them to connect to ours. Lord, give us the strength we might need, the courage we might need, the inspiration, the ideas, the compassion, and most of all, the love. Lord, thank you for loving us. We love you too. In your name we pray. Amen.